Thank you for sticking around. It is Sunday morning. That means it's time for Mile High Magazine, and I am Murphy Houston. And joining us now is Dr. Jamie Stutz from the University of Colorado Cancer Center, American Cancer Society representative, and also is Kelly Moran from the American Cancer Society, a senior executive director for Colorado and Utah. And Dr. Stutz, can I call you Jamie? Is that okay?
Please do.
Okay. Welcome to Mile High Magazine. And Kelly, you too. Welcome to Mile High Magazine.
Thank you, Jamie.
And and Murphy, I'm here too. See, it gets confusing. You got three people here talking at one time, and I'll kind of direct the play here, if you know what I mean. And we'll talk with you, Jamie, Dr. Stutz, lung cancer screening guidelines. That's our topic here today. And I don't understand any of this. That's why you're with us. The screening guideline update. What's the update about lung cancer screening we should know about?
Yeah, the American Cancer Society has recently updated their guidelines to reflect some new data that's been available for the last couple of years in order to reach individuals who are at high risk for lung cancer. And the new guidelines state that if you are age 50 and have smoked approximately 20 pack years over your lifetime, that you would be eligible for lung cancer screening, which is conducted via a low-dose CT scan on an annual basis.
Really? And why did they change that? What's the difference from what it used to be?
Well, they've done some studies to look at the criteria that for eligibility. And one of the things that the American Cancer Society did was to invest in some research to explore whether the benefits of lung cancer screening continued after someone had quit for 15 years. And so we used to use guidelines, and some other guidelines still recommend stopping screening after quitting for 15 years, quitting smoking after 15 years. But the American Cancer Society has looked at the data and suggests that regardless of how long since you've quit smoking, that you would still potentially benefit from participating in lung cancer screening. So that's the key difference that the American Cancer Society has taken on.
So is that their way of telling us if you've been a smoker for a long time and now you've quit for 15 years, they want to determine if your lungs heal? Do your lungs heal after you quit smoking?
That is a very good question. And yes, they do start to heal after quitting smoking. But unfortunately, they don't heal all the way back to the time when before someone ever smoked. And so and that's kind of what one of the questions that we and the American Cancer Society was trying to look at to see if that risk stays high enough to benefit from lung cancer screening.
So lung cancer through that method, I mean, you can get lung cancer without a smoker, a direct smoker. Is it different in everybody? Does that affect everybody differently?
Well, you do raise a very good point. And you're right that about 80 to 90% of lung cancer is attributable to a smoking history. But that means that 10 to 20% of smoking is unrelated to a smoking history. And while lung cancer screening is not available for those individuals who do not have a smoking history, it's not recommended because the risk is not sufficient to outweigh the potential harms of cancer screening. And so right now we only have data to support the fact that lung cancer screening is beneficial for those individuals with a significant smoking history.
Wow, that's crazy stuff, man. I don't know how you guys figure this out. And that's Dr. Jamie Stutz, University of Colorado Cancer Center is where he's from. Kelly Moran, who's with the American Cancer Society, the senior executive director, is joining us on Mile High Magazine. Kelly, thanks for being on today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Murphy.
Well, talk about lung cancer awareness, because I know November, which we're in now, is Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Talk about that a little bit, what it's all about.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is. And, you know, Lung Cancer Awareness Month is so important because lung cancer is actually the secondly most common diagnosed cancer for both men and women. And sadly, it's the leading cause of cancer deaths across the U.S. So about 1 in 5 of all cancer deaths can be attributed to lung cancer. So we want people to go out there and get screened because, as with all cancers, you know, the sooner it's caught, the more treatment options there are.
Anyone can get lung cancer, correct?
Yes, absolutely. But the risk is higher if you're 50 or older and are a current smoker or previously smoked.
So what are you recommending? What are you telling people at the age of 50 they should be doing if they've been smokers?
Yeah, so they need to get their lung cancer screening. So it's an annual screening. It's very quick. It's called a low-dose CT scan, and they need to talk to their primary care provider to determine if that screening is right for them. So that's really what we want to do, is have people talk to their primary care doctors about this and see if this is a screening they need.
And that's how it starts, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, we talk about the risk factors and that, you know, there's so many things that go into, you know, if a person has cancer or not, some that we can control, many that we can't control. And so, you know, having that relationship with your doctor and talking to them and getting, staying up to date on all your screenings, certainly, but, you know, lung cancer screening is one we're here talking about today because, you know, the screening rates are low. So we really need more people to get out there and get screened.
Well, you know, Kelly, I've heard the American Cancer Society, which you're obviously a big part of, is really the leading cancer fighting organization. Talk about that. What does that mean? You're the leading fighting organization.
Yeah. Well, I love this question. Thank you. It's one of my favorite ones. So we are, you know, our organization, one of the things I'm most proud of is that we focus on every type of cancer. So we say every cancer, every life. And so we're really the organization out there that is focused on all cancers and also the only one that combines, you know, a focus on advocacy, research, and patient support. And that really helps us ensure that everyone has the opportunity to prevent, detect, treat, and survive cancer.
That's a tough one to beat, isn't it? There's so many different kinds of cancer, all treated differently. It's tough.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I've been through breast cancer. My wife's been through it twice. And that was a battle. I'd never want to drive in that ship again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. But also, what a testament that that's three cancer battles won between the two of you.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like we should be getting some kind of a picture or something in a paper. I don't know what that means, but it's crazy.
I'm sure we can talk to someone about that.
I guess so. It's funny, though, because most men don't know they can get breast cancer. That's one of the things I'm a big advocate for. I could be out emceeing any event about any topic, and I remind men, you know, you can get breast cancer. Be careful. You know, your wife goes through mammogram.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've had a mammogram.
That's an important message.
But yeah. I mean,
absolutely. And well, and like, you know, with lung cancer, you don't have to smoke to get lung cancer. Non-smokers get lung cancer, too. And I think that's something important to remember when thinking about screening.
And thank you, Kelly, because that's my next segue to the good Dr. Jamie Stutz, who's with us, about lung cancer for those that don't smoke. That just baffles me. How does that happen, Jamie?
Yeah, this is a good question. So we know that there are other environmental factors related to lung cancer risk. And so the second leading cause of lung cancer is radon exposure. And radon is a colorless, odorless gas that exists naturally in our environment and that emanates from uranium in the ground. And so one of the things we strongly encourage is for individuals who own homes or even live in apartment complexes and things to test their home for radon. And you can find radon test kits. Sometimes our state government has those available. Sometimes you can get them at hardware stores and other places. But to test your home for radon, either individually or you can actually have a professional do it. And if you find radon, high levels of radon in gas in your home, you can actually have a mitigation plan so that put in place. And that gets a little bit expensive, to be honest. But it's always good to know whether that would be a good decision for you in terms of doing that testing, which is actually quite cheap.
Well, it is. In fact, I just went through that. I'm glad you brought that up, Jamie. And the state of Colorado does offer a test. It's like $17. And it's very easy to do. We put it in our downstairs. And then I think it's sent off to either Kansas State or University of Kansas. They do the final checking, and then they let you know what you got going downstairs. And I'm glad I did it. We've lived in our house since 1986, and we got it. And radon's down there. And now the next step is to get the mitigation in there, and it's not a simple process, and it is kind of expensive. But I didn't realize radon was such an issue when it came to lung cancer, but it is, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We think somewhere in the neighborhood of 5% of all lung cancers might be attributable to radon exposure in a lifetime. So it is something that is a good idea to get checked out. And I think part of this is all just making lung cancer part of understanding of our society, and that we, because of the traditional link to smoking, sometimes lung cancer doesn't receive as much attention or part of our social conscious about cancer risk reduction and control activities. And so really appreciate this opportunity to talk about lung cancer, to normalize public discussions around lung cancer, to talk about screening, to talk about radon testing and mitigation, to talk about the fact that we also need to recognize that the lung cancer care is changing. We've had over 30 plus new treatments developed for lung cancer in the past 10 years, and that really has improved outcomes. And so we really don't need to think about lung cancer as a devastating diagnosis that always leads to someone's death. There are actually a lot of good reasons, a lot of good treatment, and to build optimism and hope in this community and really give it the attention and light of day that so that people can know about screening, can know about radon mitigation, can know about treatment options, and to think about it in a more hopeful kind of way.
Well said there, Doc. Well said indeed. But Kelly, you can also get lung cancer too for if you're not a smoker. If it is it like, what do you call it, second degree smoke or what? How does that happen?
Secondhand smoke. Well, you know, there's a lot of different risk factors that go into smoking or that go into lung cancer. Secondhand smoke is certainly one of them. So that's if you're around someone who's smoking, you know, breathing in the air filled with the carcinogens and that from smoking after they exhale or from the cigarette burning, that can, you know, that is one of the risk factors for lung cancer, being, you know, exposed to too much secondhand smoke.
Yeah, you didn't realize that so many years ago about secondhand smoke as you do now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I hear stories about this kind of stuff all the time. One of our volunteers here, her grandmother developed lung cancer because she'd been a waitress in a diner her whole career.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's quite a story.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to talk before I let you guys go about the Great American Smokeout. That's coming up on the 16th, correct?
Yes, it is. And that is a day that we encourage people to make a plan to quit smoking. This is the 48th annual one. You know, we've made such progress in this area, but we still know that about 34 million American adults are still smoking. So here in Colorado, of adults 18 years and older, that's, we have 12% smoking, and current high school students, 5% of them are smoking cigarettes. And so, you know, being that about 80% of lung cancers are attributed to smoking, we know that quitting smoking is a very important way to reduce risk.
Good point there, Kelly. Thanks for that. And Dr. Jamie Stutes, before I let you go, buddy, talk about vaping. The kids seem to be getting into vaping from what I'm reading. Does that affect lung cancer?
The best answer is we don't know yet, unfortunately. It will take us some time, science, to catch up with this new technology for nicotine delivery. But we are still very concerned about the vaping epidemic. And it's one of the particular challenges that we're facing here in Colorado that's a bit unique in that our kids are vaping at higher rates than kids in other states. And so this is very concerning. One of the things that I want to highlight is, well, is that we may come to understand that in the future, with more data and more experience, that vaping may not be as harmful to in terms of the cancer risk. But we do know already that it has other risks associated with it with regard to injury to the lungs and other considerations.
Oh.
And so it's going to be some time before we really understand the risk of vaping, unfortunately. And obviously, if you're in taking in things into your lungs that were not designed to be there, that's probably not the best idea.
Well, and so, sound advice, Doc. I mean, yeah, it makes sense to me. Hey, you guys, Dr. Jamie Stutes, University of Colorado Cancer Center, and Kelly Moran, American Cancer Society. Thank you guys for coming on and talking about lung cancer. This is the month for it, so keep it in mind and talk to your kids about vaping. It doesn't sound good to me at all. Thank you guys for coming on today. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you, too. And thank you guys for listening. It's Mile High Magazine. I am Murphy Houston, and we'll gather again next Sunday right here.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.